Hey, you guys. I'm Chelsea Lockhart, an author of Black Girl Fantasies and the founder of the Melanin Library. And this year, I'll be partnering with the Writer's Block podcast to help share with you guys the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by Black authors. This website is a free resource and was created to make finding books by Black authors a simpler experience and to create a space on the internet where Black authors are showcased and celebrated without exception. We highlight books of all genres, whether indie or traditionally published, so if you are a Black author, please submit your books to us so we can help share it. And if you'd like to help keep the Melanin Library in existence, consider joining our Patreon. $3 goes a long way in helping us keep the Melanin Library alive as a free resource for everyone to use. You can head to our website, melaninlibrary.com, to find out more. We appreciate whatever support you can give, and until next time, may all your books be full of melanin.
Writing is a dirty business. The work of representation is ongoing, and the work of representation is ongoing.
Welcome to the Writer's Block. This space is for aspiring writers, indie and published authors who desire tips, tricks, and tools to foster confidence in your ability to write. This space is also for voice actors, editors, and literary agents, all those people whom are writing adjacent. Let this space be a haven, a resource, and a reminder you can write all you see and see all you write. Grab your pens. We're about to circle the block.
In the 5 years I have done this podcast, I have said at least 38,000 times that the work of representation is ongoing. I am a Black female cishet writer. I understand that every time I pick up a pen, the odds will be stacked against me. And I can't let that deter me, right? The writer of The Hate U Give, Angie Thomas, said that she received over 200 rejection slips before she even published The Hate U Give. And she said that she would continue to write stories for. And I think that Angie Thomas focuses primarily on YA, her and Tiffany D. Jackson. And Angie Thomas said that, you know, she will continue to write stories for kids who the world doesn't see and people who the world doesn't see. So when I say the work of representation is ongoing, that's what I mean. There's always going to be some level of work to do and that needs to be done. And sometimes the best way you can get your work done is with a pen, right? And if I'm honest, it feels as if that we as writers are in this very perilous and persnickety position, shouts to alliteration. Because our job is to create the work, right? Our job is to get the work out, to get the work out of us and into the world. And in getting those works out into the world, on some level, we then divorce a level of responsibility for it. Because once your work is picked up, you know, awesome, you're not an indie author anymore, you're traditionally published, you know, your book gets adapted, they make a screenplay from your book, and, you know, they take it to the powers that be, and either it will be accepted by the powers that be and greenlit, and you start making the movie, or they'll tell you to make whatever changes. And we know that, and Gabrielle Union has never been quiet about this, that there are studios who see how lucrative quote unquote Black movies are and will continually give those movies less money, less resources, and yet still they're profitable. Which is why on some level, I think that Black creatives are unsung superheroes. I mean, when Jordan Peele made Get Out, I don't think the budget was even $10 million. And made how much money? Right. And yet in this precarious position of being, right? And having to create in a world by which will on some level hijack your stuff, and then you get into these trench level fights, as I like to call them, about who should play who. Now, if I'm completely honest, one of my frequent collaborators and current editor for Your Life, the Mixtape magazine, shouts to Greg. He and I have lots of off-platform conversations, meaning there are things that we don't necessarily broadcast, that we just keep between text messages or in the groups and circles by which we travel. And this idea of representation kept coming up. And I said to him, there are certain things that I know that I can't weigh in on because I don't have the life experience for that. And he agreed that there are certain things that I've experienced that he can't weigh in on. And in that, in this duality of both of our lives, right, there is this complexity. Now, what am I saying? Greg is a white gay man. I am a cishet Black woman. So automatically our lives are totally different, right? So there are certain experiences that he has had that I may never have. And there are certain experiences that I've had as a Black woman he will never have as a gay white man. And yet we still come to these conversations that are most intellectually dexterous, especially when it comes to the idea of representation. I know that my job as a writer is to create the world, right? It's to write the characters. It's to make them as complex and as human, as relatable as possible. And, you know, one of my dreams, right, is to have one of my stories be adapted into a film. And I understand that the person that I've created, it would be nice if that would be that same person on screen. Like for my novel, Ruby, which you should buy, it's on Amazon. R-U-B-Y, just like the gym. And the one thing that I have been pretty much gung-ho about is when Ruby is turned into a movie, that I don't really, much like J. California Cooper, I don't want people touching, I don't want a whole lot of folk touching my people as far as this is who I want and this is what I would love to see. And I think the trick that we are in now, especially as society continues to be, to expand, right, to include more people, to include more people's experiences, that we have to be mindful that the work of representation is ongoing. That for the worlds that I create that are populated by Black people, I don't want a white person playing them. Not because that white person does not have the ability. Now watch this. It's because you don't have the culture to go along with that. You don't have the experiences that would power a performance behind that. And this is where I think we get into that greater ocean of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Diversity says, look at this particular group of people. They all look the same. What if we expanded the pool to include more people? That's diversity. Equity says, hey, this is where the room is. Everybody go over there. So you have diversity and equity because now everybody knows where it is. Everybody has a fair shake there, and there you have it. And inclusion says, hey, the house is big enough to have everybody come over here, and there's enough room for everybody to shine. And I think, again, this is where we kind of get into the trenches of representation. What does it mean to have a character be represented? What does that particular person need to bring or may need to leave in order to play this particular part? And one of the things that I love about Uncle Denzel Washington is the fact that he says some things don't speak to talent, they speak to culture. And I think that what we are experiencing now, and again, Greg said this on the podcast Team Petty Headlines that I highly suggest that you follow. He said that there are certain aspects, right, of representation by which can only be powered through experience. And again, getting into these trenches and the, you know, kind of mining deeper into this, because again, the arts is one of those places and one of those spaces by which you can bring and be your complete self. And if you want to see your complete self on screen, it would be great to know that the person playing that particular person that, you know, you grew up with, or that you read in a book, that you've seen in other platforms, you would want that level of representation. And we know that media is the ultimate form of representation, because you're literally seeing something that looks like you, someone who has similar experiences on this massive platform. And again, in this divorcing, right, as it were, when you get signed, your book is adapted, and now they're going to start casting people. And again, I can't speak to any other experience except a black person's experience, especially a black woman's experience. What I do know is, because I too, right, am a film buff, I'm also aware that prior to Dorothy Dandridge being on screen as a beautiful black woman in Carmen Jones, I know there was lots of blackface in Hollywood. Even the marvelous Judy Garland did it. We know that Fred Astaire did it. We know that there were always tropes of black people, right? We know that. We also know that when you watch Imitation of Life, we especially the black and white version that had the indomitable and beautiful Freddie Washington in it, that Freddie was so light that people thought she was white, and the powers that be at the time didn't know what to do with her, because she could pass for a white woman. Like there weren't white men all over Hollywood dealing and dabbling with, but, child, let me not even get into that. But because we know that Peter Lawford and Dorothy Dandridge had a thing. And the thing that is also kind of etched in the underside of Hollywood is how representation is not only earned or garnered or created, is how much money they can make off of it. We know that, right? And we also know for those actors who were Asian American, a lot of those characters didn't necessarily go to actors of Asian American descent. We know that there were, I forget the movie, but I know Katherine Hepburn had you know, the wardrobe team, you know, tape her eyes in a certain way so they look more slanted, rather than giving that role to a Chinese American actor. We know that Bruce Lee had, especially now with the resurgence of The Crow, which was released 30 years ago this week. We know that tragically, his son Brandon Lee was killed on a stunt accident on screen. We know that because one of the bullets was real. So we know that, you know, Bruce Lee was angry about how, you know, Asian American people were depicted. We know that black actors had been saying forever as to how we are depicted on screen. We know that even our Latin brothers and sisters who are actors, some of them were passed over for white actors that they put self-tanner on, you know. So the work of representation is indeed ongoing and is indeed needed and necessary. The fact is, when you as a writer, and this is one of the things that I'm still working out of, even my own thought processes, that when you as a writer create something, when you create a character, when you write a book, when you make this world, right, of these invisible people powered by ink and paper and your imagination, you have an idea as to who these people are, aka you can see them before any director does. And you would want that person to be on screen. You would want that. So if I, as a Black woman, let's just say, for example, using the genius of Elin Harris. Elin Harris was a gay Black man who wrote experiences from being a gay Black man. So we know that for any book that he would have had adapted into a movie, that the presumption is that whomever's on screen should be a queer Black man or be able to play a queer Black man. Now here we go again with digging in the trenches, right? Because I am not queer, right? Because I'm not queer. I can lend respect to that work. And as a fan of his work, I too would want to see that on screen, right? But then as we dig further in these trenches, then we have to look at with this artistic level DEI, who could we bring into this room for this opportunity that would make this experience more inclusion oriented to everyone around? How does one do that? How do we make that relevant? And I think that one of the ways that we do that is we have to do that.
From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcast Your Life the Mixtape and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape magazine, a free monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
One of the drawbacks, I think, if it is to be considered a drawback for the current iteration of media that we currently enjoy, is the fact that everything is so accessible. So we know who, you know, again, if your favorite book or a book that's been widely anticipated, widely read, you know, greatly received, we know once that is cast that everybody begins to dig in to who, you know, this new it person is. And I think on some level that's almost a little predatory, but, you know, I also do the same thing. There are certain things about certain actors that I know a lot about because they've been that transparent. But on some level, this is the cost of being in the public eye. People knowing a little bit more about your personal business than you would probably like. So even to the point that we know who somebody is dealing with, who somebody's dating, who somebody stopped dealing with, who's getting divorced, you know, and even as more characters of diverse backgrounds of different or varying sexualities become more known in this public sector, more people can begin to identify with said person who may be a part of said book or said movie or said role. And on some level, that's awesome. And on some level, that's mildly horrifying. It's mildly horrifying because now, right, there's this expectation, rightly or wrongly, that this person who is cast into this role, and the cast into this role of this person who does not exist, right? Who only existed in the mind of a mind of a writer. That this person has now leaped like Athena from Zeus's forehead onto a page, onto a script, into in front of a director in a casting agency. This person now, unfairly, again, rightly or wrongly, now must represent an entire culture or character. And actors are supposed to be built for that. So I'm not saying that they are incapable of doing so. What I am saying is when these roles are cast, when these particular opportunities present themselves, it is easy to dismiss, right, the back end work. Now, what do I mean by the back end work? There's source material for something,
their source material for that particular person. And here recently, I listened to Chadwick Boseman's commencement speech at Howard that he gave about 6 years ago. And he's talked about how when he was first starting out and he got his first acting job, I believe it was on All My Children. And he got the script and he was looking over it and he was kind of disappointed because the character, this young Black man, again, from the mind of a writer, you know, his father left, you know, his mother's in jail because she was on heroin, you know, and how the character was written. It was written in such a way that the actor playing this person has such trepidation that he's like, that again, Chadwick talks about this in his particular, commencement speech. He said that, you know, this is somebody's real story. You know, somebody actually lived this. You know, again, everything has a source. And he talks about, again, in the commencement speech that he went to, you know, the producers, went to the writers. He said he was even willing to work with the writers to, you know, flesh out this character. And it was, and Val Kilmer has said something similar about Top Gun, that when he got the character of Iceman, that they didn't really give any backstory for, you know, why he was the way he was. So Val Kilmer had to like make that up, right? So by no means am I saying that actors are unable or unwilling to create something out of nothing. And when Chadwick pushed further into you know, why the character was the way he was, they really didn't answer his questions, really didn't allow him to weigh in like he thought he could and really have helped. And they let him go. Now, the odd thing is that that character was then replaced by Mike. His character was then recast as Michael B. Jordan. The thing that has to be said is when we create these people, right, create these worlds, come up with these ideas, somebody may see themselves in you. And seeing themselves in a book is way different than being seen on screen. And on some level, that back end work, you know, being able to create the world, create the character, create the problem, according to, you know, the specifics and schematics of a genre, that sometimes, right, there may be somebody cast in this particular role that has the ability to make something out of nothing, who has the ability to look at something that may be quote unquote racially ambiguous and play that. And yet at the same time, there are certain characters by which cannot be swapped out in such a way. One of those is, you know, of course, Malcolm X. And that's just a historical figure. And even if we go to fictional characters, there are certain people that just cannot be played by anybody else. You know, like one of them is Harvey Milk. Another one is Marsha P. Johnson. Another one is Sylvia Rivera. Another one is, you know, Tiana from Princess and the Frog. Mama Odie from Princess and the Frog. And even if we go a little bit into more recent history, they're especially as it relates to media, you know, as you look at the juggernaut that was The Hate U Give, you can't recast Star as a white girl. That cannot happen. And because I, you know, drummed her up, just like with Madison Washington of The Weight of Blood, written by Tiffany D. Jackson. Excellent book. Oh my gosh, please read that. You can't recast Maddie as a Black girl. You would, matter of fact, you could not recast Maddie as a white girl. Now, I won't give all the book away, but Madison is raised in this very small town. I want to say it's in Springville, Georgia. And her father clearly is a racist white man, and he is abusive to Madison, and he hates the fact that his daughter is Black. And again, so there are so many complexities in this particular book that if you are not a Black girl, some of them you will not understand. If you are not a Black person reading this book, there are certain instances that will not make sense to you. So the culture, when culture and experience meet, that's when casting is perfect, which goes back to, right, when you have people of varying identities being cast into a character of varying identities, it would make sense that that particular actor had the ability to step into that role using their own life or the lives of other people around them in a similar culture to do that. Because because you can't be culturally Black. You can't do that. I know Rachel Dolezal gave some of y'all hope, but you cannot be culturally Black. You can't be. There are certain things that unless you were Black, you won't understand them. And Denzel Washington has said that on multiple occasions. Because there is a need to bring that level of sensitivity to a role, to a script, to a book. And without it, you can't do the work of representation. The work of representation can't really be hobbled like that. And again, I am not saying that if an actor is not talented, that quote unquote, the experience won't matter. The experience will always matter. That actor may have to work a little bit harder, especially if culture and experience does not mesh in a way that will allow them to honor that role with their complete selves and talent. Like I said, writing is a dirty business because sometimes the person you need to see, you have to create. And from the creation of that invisible person, someone may need to see themselves in what was not there before. Just food for thought.
The time has come to leave you to your thoughts and words. The hope is that what was shared in this space was encouraging, empowering, and a catalyst to write. Special thanks to Valor Music, LLC for all audio production and mixing. All business inquiries and advertising inquiries can be sent to circlethewritersblock@gmail.com. If you feel so inclined to support the work of this podcast to continue to fight erasure of Black and minority writers, consider supporting through Cash App at $JBHWRITES, that's JBH Writes, or PayPal at sglc.1038@yahoo.com. We will see you next time when we circle the block.